Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Thursday. This is Brother Nate with the Church Christ Eliza message on the broadcast entitled Jesus Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you have any prayer requests, I pray with you. If you have any questions about the lesson, I do my best on the Lord Jesus to answer for you. If you have any comments, I ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you call in to get information on how to obtain copy of the messages, the Lord has been sending through his angel messenger, I will get that to you as well. For those of you listening who don't like giving your prayer requests over the air or asking your questions over the air, no problem. Contact me at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com, and I will get back to you. Amen. So, without further ado, for those of you listening, hey, if you don't mind, why don't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Most gracious God, we thank you once again on this blessed day that you have given us this opportunity to assemble together once again. We're grateful, Lord God, that you contain all sorts of true revelation and knowledge and understanding, and that we can petition you to receive this. So, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we ask for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ this day, that, Lord God, that you would shine this revelation in our hearts of your word, enlighten us, Lord, enlighten us this day, that we may have a better understanding of your full plan. So, Father, we thank you. Lord, we glorify you. We magnify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Glory be to God. This day we are on part two of the second century church facing Marcionism. The second century church facing Marcionism. Now, in this series, we've been looking at this particular teaching that is referred to as Marcionism. And the reason why we've been looking at this, because we've been looking at one of the contributing factors that contribute to the destruction of the early church. Also explaining the reason why, or one of the reasons why, Jesus has been sending the Elijah to restore all things, letting us know that among the things that has to be restored is the body of Christ. And we're looking at the one of the contributing things that caused for its destruction, its breakup. Amen. And so we're on part two today. I want to once again read you a little bit this information about this Marcionism and clue in on what we're going to be looking at this morning on this part two. Okay, so I want to read you a little information on this Marcionism. Amen. Okay. Marcionism is a religious movement based on the teachings of the second century heretic Marcion of Sinope. While none of Marcion's writings has survived to the present, we know of his teachings through several early Christian writers, including Justin Martyr, Irenaeus of Lyons, and Hippolytus. These men combated Marcion in defense of the truth. And I want to read a little bit more here, because this next thing I want to read is what we're going to clue in on this morning. Now, Marcion held that, and I want you to listen to this closely. He held that Jesus was the only revelation of the supreme God, but that Jesus should not be seen as having fulfilled Old Testament messianic prophecies. Rather, Marcion saw the prophecies as predicting a yet-to-come earthly savior of the Jewish nation. What Marcion was endorsing was a radical discontinuity between Old Testament Judaism and the message of Jesus and Apostle Paul. Okay, now I'm going to stop there. So Marcion, in his teachings, and for those of you who have been listening to me on broadcast, Marcionism really is just a outbranch or another leg of Gnosticism. Okay, I went over you guys about Valentinianism, about Docetism. All of these is really a spread out legs of narcissism, okay? And Marcion says that Jesus should not be seen as having fulfilled Old Testament messianic prophecies, but rather Marcion saw that the prophecies predicting a yet to come earthly savior, a yet to come, okay? So he's saying Jesus is not the savior, okay? That he did not fulfill, he was not the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy of a messianic savior coming, okay? Now, and I'm going to read a few scriptures on this to show why Marcion teaching is wrong. But before I get into that, I want to say this. Now, I read to you how that there was and I named three men who was supposed to be considered Christians who combated Marcion about this, okay? But they may have combated him, but sad to say, some of this stuff crept into the hearts of some of the people, okay? And this is one of the reasons why Jesus has been sending the Elijah. And this is one of the reasons why you see Christianity so broke up in fragments. We're messed up. We separated. We divided. So many different churches, you name it. It's because one of the contributing factors is these of doctrines. And what makes it sad and even worse, that there are some things in the Bible that is plainly stated and some Christians still reject it and come up with their own teachings. Or they still reject it and accept the teachings of someone who is off the target about what they're teaching, okay? Now, if you have your Bibles, let's go to the book of Isaiah chapter 7. Now, we're going Old Testament, and I'm going to look at this. Book of Isaiah chapter 7, and I think we're going to go to verse 14. Now, amen. And people, this is why I told you it's important, because as we come to you on this Blog Talk Radio, not one time we told you never to study scriptures, listen to what we say, accept it, blah, point blank. We've never told you that, okay? And this is why you need to study the scripture for yourself. Even if someone, quote, give you proof, like myself, I'm coming with the word to you, but you have to do your due diligence to read and study this to see, hey, okay. Yeah, this is what this is dealing with, or not, okay? Now, some of you, once again, and I've said it quite a few times on a different broadcast, you have picked up this mentality of thinking that you don't have to study the word for yourself. You think that, okay, I'm saved, God just going to take care of everything, I ain't got to do nothing, boom. Well, you're in for a wake-up call, and it's coming soon, okay? You finna get shaken, okay? Amen. I'm just gonna tell you the truth. You're getting ready to get shaken, because some of you, in your pride, you think that I'm saved, and you're depending on your own strength to stand against any quote doctrines that is not of God to be presented to you. But here's the thing that you miss: your enemy Satan is cunning. And he used the mouths of people that cooperate in cunningness as well. They can present something to you so smooth that it will actually sound so true that you will receive it hook, line, and sinker, and it would not be of God. Now, in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, now look at what the Lord gave Isaiah. And here's the beautiful thing about the Lord. The Lord always has himself witness, people. Before he manifests a thing, he have witnesses, okay? He don't just up and bloop manifest it and have no witnesses. He tells you, and this can go for a lesson for our personal life as well, he would tell you ahead of time what he's going to manifest before he manifests it. Why is that? To build our faith. That's why when he tell you ahead of time, it don't instantly bloop come to pass, per se. You have to exercise faith in believing the Lord will bring in the past. You get what I'm saying? Now, and if I'm not mistaken here with Isaiah, this is like, I think, hundreds of years before Christ came. But he says, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign.
Okay. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. So now he speaks about this virgin who's going to bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Okay, now let's go to chapter 9. Two chapters over. Verse 6. And this is what it says here. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, having the authority, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, having read those two, let's go to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Okay? Starting at verse 20. Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 20. And the word said, but while he, which is Joseph, thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, because now see, he found out she's pregnant, and he know he hadn't had sexual intercourse with her, so he like, okay, something going on here. But anyhow, he said, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, okay? And thou shalt call his name Jesus, okay? For he shall save his people from their sin. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, what prophet? The prophet we just read, Isaiah, Old Testament. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now, people, plain as you can get. So how is it that Marcion come up with this thing that Jesus is not the one that fulfilled the Old Testament prophecy of the Messianic Savior to come? How is it that? Somebody explain that to me when it's plain. See, here's the thing about the Lord. The Lord goes through giving us progressive revelation. What do you mean, Brother Nate? Well, he will reveal his plan, so much his plan to you, and then over a period of time, he'll reveal a little bit more to the plan, and then a little bit more till he comes to the completeness. You understand that? In other words, God does not drop the whole whopping at you at one time. See, when God show us things, and I've been guilty of this too. If you can see me, I'm raising my hand. When he show us things, many times we want the whole full picture. Because when he show us in part of certain things, we didn't have these questions. And because at that moment, we don't have the answer to those questions, we become frustrated with God, failing to understand that the next period to that thing he show you, he's going to show you a little bit more. And then the next period, he's going to show you a little bit more till it comes to its fullness. Why is that? Because of what we can handle. Well, Brother Nate, why are you telling me this? Because notice what we read in Isaiah 7 and Isaiah 9, Jesus' name was not mentioned. But here we read in Matthew 1, Jesus' name is mentioned and attached to what Isaiah was given. Okay? For the revelation. Okay? For the revelation. Given a name. And here is given to us to let us know that this Jesus is the one who was given to Isaiah, or what Isaiah was given about the son was going to be born through a virgin. Okay, you know, it's just like Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 18. He said, "A prophet should the Lord thy God raise up unto you like of me." Okay, now, and we'll talk about this another time. Some Christians get that mixed up and they think it's talking about Jesus, but it's not. Okay? In fact, Moses doesn't even give a name. We do come to understand that he's talking about the resurrected John the Baptist, but that's another story. We'll talk about that another time. But I say that to say this. When you read that Deuteronomy 18, Moses did not give you a name. Okay? Now you will say, why is that? Because Moses, well, you can look at it as food for thought. Let's look at the first thing. Moses only revealed what was revealed to him. And see, this is where we mess up at, because if God have us to tell people something, instead of us just telling them what God have us to tell them, we wants to add. But see, Moses didn't add. He didn't say, a prophet said, the Lord thy God raised up to you, this is Jesus, or this is so-and-so. Because now he only gave to us what was given to him. Okay? You get what I'm saying? And so with this thing right here that Marcion is talking about, where Jesus is not the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy on the Messianic Savior to come, he's dead wrong. Okay? He's dead wrong. But once again, it is quite evident, okay, in the scriptures and what we're looking at here in Matthew chapter 1. I mean, people, I don't know how much more plainer you can get, okay, than what we're seeing right here, okay? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know how much more plainer that we can get, okay? Amen. That this is Jesus, okay? Someone else. And see, it's sad to say that this thing had crept in the church. Now, I want to read to you a scripture from another one of God's books, The Record of Nephi, where the Lord witnessed to the Nephites of his statutes, his judgment, his commandments. And I want to read to you what he gave to this Alma. It's in the book of Alma. And what he gave about Jesus before Jesus. Now, Isaiah was not the only one that was given the plan concerning the coming of the Savior before he manifests in the flesh. God gave it to others, including this Alma here, okay? Remember, I told you people, one thing, see, the Lord don't go without witnesses, people. He tells us what he's going to do before he manifests it. Why? So then you have a witness, okay? He just don't up and just boom, bam, do it, because then he had a, did you know, no, I didn't know God's going to do it. No, he didn't tell us, you know. God always have himself witnesses. So he speaks ahead and he says, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. Okay. And then he manifests it. Okay. Now, this is what he gave to Alma. Now, this is and recorded here in 63 BC. Now, this is before Christ comes. And this is what he gave to Alma. And this is what Alma said. He said, but behold, the Spirit have said, now this is verse 9 and 10 in Alma chapter 7. He said, behold, the Spirit have said this much unto me, saying, cry out to this people, saying, repent ye and prepare the way of the Lord, and walk in his paths, which are straight. For behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and the Son of God cometh upon the face of the earth. Now he knows it, the Son of God cometh upon the face of the earth. Now this is before the manifestation in the flesh, as we know him as the only begotten of the Father. Now, he goes on to say, and behold, he shall be born of Mary. Okay? Now, this is interesting. See, and God gives a name to Alma. But when we read Isaiah, he didn't give a name to Isaiah. Okay? Now, you say, why is that? Well, see, there are times that, and you're looking at the heart of the person you deal with, okay? Your heart may be more tender to receiving things from the Lord than mine, okay? And once again, it's not no bias thing, okay? Just like, for example, if I harden my heart towards certain things, I can't receive revelation from the Lord. But if you soften your heart towards it, then you can receive the revelation. Plain and simple. It's not by God being a biased person or a respecter of persons. It's about the heart, okay, and the humility of the heart towards the things of God, okay? Because, see, there was things that God dealt with the Nephites over here that he couldn't necessarily say to his people over there in Jerusalem. Why? Because they were stiff-necked and in unbelief. Give you an example right quick. Remember in John chapter 10, verse 16, when Jesus said, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them I must also bring. Okay? Now, notice Jesus had told them, said, there's other sheep I have. There's other sheep beside you guys. Okay? But notice Jesus didn't give no name. Okay? And if you read that 10th chapter, you notice in the writings of John, John did not write, and the people questioned Jesus and asked, who are these people? It's interesting to me. That's one of, if there's a question I have about that 10th chapter, is that when Jesus said, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them I also must bring, how come none of them say, who are you talking about? Amen. Why? Because when you read here the record of Nephite, when Jesus came over here to visit the Nephites after his resurrection, he told them why. And he let them know that the Nephites were the people that he was talking about. Okay? And he told them, your brethren over there, in Jerusalem, it's in unbelief and stiff neck and all that. And I couldn't, it wasn't given to me by the Father to tell them. Okay? You understand that? Hallelujah. Now, Alma also says here, for behold, he shall be born of Mary at Jerusalem, which is the land of our forefather, she being a virgin, a precious and chosen vessel, who shall be overshadowed and conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost and bring forth a son, yea, even the Son of God, who we know is what? Jesus Christ. So Marcion way out in left field, okay? But here's the gripping thing about this. There are some Christians who accept this. Listen, if you believe in what Marcion says here, that Jesus is not, did not fulfill the Old Testament prophecy of the coming of the Messiah, the Messianic Savior, that Jesus is not the Savior, and you claim to be a Christian, you're still in your sins. Hell awaits you, me, and everybody else, okay? There are many Jews over there. That's what's wrong with many of the Jews over there in the country. See, they didn't accept Jesus as the Savior. And this is, and if you listen to what I read to you, what Marcion said, that's what many of the Jews believe. That's why they're not born again. Yes, televangelists, you heard me say it. They're not born again, okay? Quit putting them in heaven because you're talking about, well, they're God, ancient covenant people. That's true from the Old Testament. But guess what? Just because you're God, ancient covenant people, that does not give you the right to reject the Savior. Because if man didn't need a Savior, then I can understand you put him in heaven. But man needed a Savior. You understand what I'm saying? Man couldn't save himself. So how are you going to reject the Savior and still bust the pearly gates wide open? Now, you explain that to me. Because there's too many big-time televangelists. You keep putting the Jews in heaven, and I'm talking about the ones that have rejected Christ as the Messiah and the Savior. You keep putting them in heaven, just like in many churches now, you're just baptizing folks that ain't saved, that really don't receive Jesus Christ as Lord in their heart, but you baptize them, and you're putting them in heaven. So when they die, you want somebody to give a sermon and say, oh, Joe, he's up there with the Lord. And the same Joe was a drunkard, cuss you out, cuss Jesus out and everything. But you want him to be in heaven. Come on, people. Come on now. Got to do better than that, okay? The Lord is God. He's not a dummy, okay? He is long-suffering, not forever-suffering, okay? And people get this thing confused. So when you talk to them about the Lord is love, and they look, oh, the Lord is love. You know what that translates to a lot of people? Doormat. Okay, that's what that translates to, doormat. See, when people see that you're walking in the kindness and gentleness of the Lord, many people look at you as a doormat. Oh, he's easy. He's just too soft. He's too loving. So they think that you're just dumb and stupid and that they can just get over you or walk all over you. So when you as a Christian make a stand, they be so shocked that you thinking they hyperventilating or going having a heart attack or something about to fall out. You go, they be like, oh, he stood. Okay. Okay, that's the reaction. That's how they act. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, I want to read another verse here out of another one of the Lord's book called The Word of the Lord. And this is the book of the Lord where he had been sending his messages through his angel messenger, the Elijah. Okay? I'm going to read one of these messages called the 84th message. And Jesus sent this out November the 3rd, 1966. Gave you a date. So in your private prayer time, you can say, hey, Lord Jesus, did you send an angel with a message on November the 3rd, 1966? Okay? Because once again, people, not trying to do nothing hideous here. Okay? Now, I want to read to you what he permitted his angel to tell us. And he says, to give us, this angel had to give us this message. He said, I am God. I change not. I am he that was called Jehovah. I am Jesus Christ. I am the beginning and the end. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. I am the Lord. I am he that was manifest in the flesh. In the flesh, death, and resurrection, I am he that is risen. I am the Lord God. He said, I am he that was manifest in the flesh. I remember Isaiah. And I read to you what Alma said, that in the plan of the Lord, that Mary was going to have give birth to a son. And that he was going to be called Wonderful, the Counselor, the God with us, okay? He was manifest in the flesh, okay? Amen. Jesus was manifest in the flesh. He started out manifest in the flesh as a baby. He didn't come out, boom, fully grown man, okay? He went through the process of coming from the babe stage to the childhood stage to the manhood stage. He went through those three stages, people. Amen. To be what? The Savior, okay? Amen. Hallelujah, because he is the Savior. You get what I'm saying? He is the Savior. And he will manifest in the flesh. Okay? See, once again, this stuff that Marcion was coming out with was more geared towards, since it's a leg of narcissism, and remember narcissism saying everything physical and all that is evil and all that, and then there was an evil God from the Old Testament that created the world and all that stuff. So this is why he said, well, this can't be the same Jesus that the Old Testament prophecy spoken of, that a Savior to come. Well, if you're trying to drop the Old Testament in such a way like that, why are you still talking about that prophecy has yet to be fulfilled? If you're trying to drop the Old Testament, you should be dropping the prophecies as well, not should you? Amen. But see, you're not doing that. See, when you look at it, all these other religions, to let you know they're not of God, and all these other teachings, the main thing I tell any of you to go to, when you're looking up these different religions, their teachings, because see, some of y'all want to listen to the world say, well, you know, we got to love everybody and get along with everybody. And their version of that means accept and tolerate any teachings that put down your Lord. So this is what I say to any of you who call yourself interested in these other religions and trying to see how you can get along with them. If you truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the main thing I say to you when you go to explore and look at these other religions, study what they say and believe about Jesus. That's the main thing. The main thing. Look and see what they say about his resurrection, his crucifixion, about him being the Savior and his deity. I guarantee you, It is big time rejection of all of it. So at what point you call yourself accepting and tolerating that for the sake of what you call peace and love? Well, that peace and love is not the peace and love of God. It's the peace and love of the world. That, my friend, is not going to get you into the pearly gates. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. That's not going to get you in, people. You know, I mean, too many of you, you know, you just, you know, whatever, you know. And that's what the world told you, and you have accepted. The world said, yes, get along with everybody. Love everybody. Peace. That's what we need in this world. Okay? And like I said, when you really go and examine about what they mean about love and peace, and this is how we all get along, they're talking about tolerating and accepting. Okay? Amen. See, way things going, sooner or later, get this. You may not believe this, but hold on. They're going to start getting you to tolerate and accept pedophiles. Oh, yeah. But, okay, I know some of you looked in the air. Now, Brother Nate, you're just going overboard. Well, don't worry about it. Hold on and watch, okay? Watch. They're going to try to, they're going to do some type of justification of being a pedophile. And it's going to work on people to accept it and tolerate it. I'm telling you now. I'm telling you, the way they did it with homosexuality, okay, and still doing it. Even though our Lord, as plain can be, told you his stance on homosexuality and lesbianism, he said it is an abomination. It is something that is disgusting to me, that practice, period. It is not of me. Now you got folks coming on here talking about gay Christian 101. What kind of stuff is that? And some of you big televangelists who knows the truth, but every time you address about it, you start, your knees knock together so hard, they probably like, man, is somebody dropping something here? No, it's just your knees knocking so hard because you scared to answer and say, that's abomination. So now some of you televangelists, you're accepting it for the sake of peace. We got to be in peace. Well, peace. You ain't going to find nowhere where the Lord accept abomination, period. Ain't no gay part in heaven, okay? The third heaven where the Lord, there ain't no gay. Ain't no gay section. Ain't no homosexual section, okay? There, it don't exist. Amen. Well, you say amen, oh me, I don't know. It's, you know, it's up to you, okay? But truth is truth, people. So, Marcion is saying Jesus is not the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies of the Messianic Savior to come. We're looking for one to come for the Jewish nation. And like I said, some Christians, you might think that, oh man, ain't no Christ gonna accept this stuff. Well, I wish that was true. But you got some that did. And some that is now, okay? See, these teachers ain't just completely just gone off the face of the earth. Oh, they still lurking around, okay? This is why we got this separation among Christians, because this very thing here of these teachings, it say, hey, man, we believe that Jesus was not the Savior. Well, if you believe Jesus is not the Savior, then you ain't saved. Amen, point blank, you're not saved. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior, you're not saving. Get this. You are in trouble. It's just like with the Jehovah's Witness. The one that started Jehovah's Witness, Charles Hayes Russell, okay? And they up there calling Jehovah's Witness a Christian organization. As they said, stop it. Because the same Charles Hayes Russell, in one of his writings, say, the man Jesus is dead, forever dead. Now, the Bible says in Romans 10 that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that he was what? Raised from the dead. And you turn around and say he forever dead, that he wasn't raised. Then Paul said, you are yet in your sins. Your faith is in vain. Okay, so Jesus Christ is the Savior. Now, some of you Christians think you're not going to be tested in that area. Okay, I'm going to see where that gets you. Because you're going to be tested to see whether you really believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior. You're going to have some church folks. This is probably what's going to come and shock you. You're going to have some church folks that approach you and say, do you really believe that Jesus saved us from our sin? Get ready to use your hand to put it over your mouth when your mouth fly open. Because you're going to be thinking, man, you've been in the church all these years. I thought you believed that he is the Savior. And now you ask me that? Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. You know, like TD Jake says, get ready. Because you're finna be asked some questions by some church folks that you're going to be shocked. Okay? You're going to be shocked. Glory be to God. So, I thank God for this blessed word, Lord. I thank you for the word of God today. I thank you for all those who have been listening. And, Lord, I pray that you will bless and water the seed that I've sown that it may bring forth the increase. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm about to end the broadcast, people. Thank God for all you've been listening. This is Brother Nate with the Church Christ Eliza message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.